Hello, everyone. Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Show. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop.
This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network. GunRightsRadio.com. Podcasting freedom.
Thanks for listening to episode number 67. You've tuned into a practical firearms show. I'm not a gunsmith or ex-law enforcement or ex-military or anything like that. I'm not a CCW instructor, just a private citizen that believes in exercising my Second Amendment rights as much as I can. I'm just a Yankee with a gun. I was born in New York City, folks, raised in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and now I live in Dallas, Fort Worth since 93. So you're just going to get everyday, ordinary ideas from me. And this show here, it's July 4th, folks, and I am spending some time with friends and family. As a matter of fact, I'm taking a little bit of a drive to go visit some friends. It's going to take me a little while to get there, so I'm going to go ahead and record this episode. I'm probably not going to release it till probably Tuesday the 6th. I'll probably actually post it real late on Wednesday the 5th, so it's available for download for some of you that might be commuting on Tuesday the 6th. So in this show, I want to talk about storing your handgun, because I've had people ask me this question several times. Where do you keep handguns? And I found a really cool bit of information from the internet and from a website. And then I've also got some of my own ideas about where to store handguns. And, you know, it's a popular question, because some of us have kids to think about, and, you know, some of us just want to be responsible. And, folks, I am all about responsible firearms ownership, and the proper storage of firearms is important. But I'm also going to talk about ways to keep them away from thieves, both in your vehicle and in your automobile. I've also got a little bit of a news story here for you, something that I thought was quite unique. I don't normally do news, but this is a good story I think you're going to like. And then also a little bit about listener feedback. Before I get started with all that, I want to knock out a couple of announcements. First of all, the website is handgunworld.com. If you want to email me, just send me an email at bob@handgunworld.com. bob@handgunworld.com. Don't forget about my YouTube channel called Handgun World Show. And also, don't forget about the thread that I have over at the Gun Rights Radio Network Forum. If you're not a member over there, please join. It's an excellent group of people and an excellent way to communicate with me as well. I check into that at least once a day, sometimes twice. Okay, let's get on with the news here. I like to keep the announcements short and sweet. I guess there is one thing I forgot real quick before I get into this little news clip. I'd be remiss if I didn't say July the 15th. Don't forget about my Freedom Raffle. I'll be starting the Freedom Raffle on July 15th. And as a matter of fact, by the time you hear this, I'm going to post a page at handgunworld.com called the Freedom Raffle. You're definitely going to want to participate in that. So go to the website, check it out. Okay, a little bit of news that came from the Armed Citizen. And it's called Teen Shoots Would-Be Burglary Suspect. Now, I thought this was an interesting story. Let me give you the story here first and then give you some comments that I have on it. Okay? The story goes like this. Sheriff's deputies say that about 2:30 p.m., suspects broke into a man's home through the back window. This happened in the Houston area in Harris County. About 2:30 p.m., suspects broke into a home through the back window. Now, let me stop right there. That first sentence says a lot. Most burglaries happen during the daytime. I don't know if you know, if I've had a chance to tell y'all or not. I've made my living in the home security business since 96. So 14 years now I've made my living in the home security business. That's one of the major product lines that we manufacture, home security systems. So in 14 years I've learned a lot about keeping your home secured. I've also learned one of the basics. Folks, a lot of people think that home invasions happen at night. Guess what? Most of them don't. Most of them happen in the middle of the day in broad daylight. They think you're not home. However, this case is a little bit different. So let me continue with the story. From upstairs, the 15-year-old boy who was home with his 12-year-old sister heard the breaking glass and grabbed his father's automatic rifle. The burglary was soon over. Family members rushed to the home, but the children's father, Vince Guerrera, had beaten them all there, got home before they did, and he is a Harris County Sheriff, deputy constable, and was on duty when it happened. And I really like what this this sheriff's deputy says. He says, "We don't try to hide things from our children. We try to give them a perspective about the way things are." See, I like that. Let me stop the story here for a minute. Hooray to that guy. I tell you what, my hat's off to this guy. Okay, first of all, he doesn't lie to kids. Folks, don't lie to your kids. My son every once in a while asks about things like this. He asks about home break-ins and burglaries and, you know, what goes on in the world. I don't lie to him. Don't lie to your kids. Don't hide them. Don't shelter them. All right, because I hope not. I hope it never happens. But you know what? You might find, your kids might find themselves in a similar situation. And you know what? You want them to be expecting things like this. Don't scare your kids to death. That's not what I'm saying. But tell them the truth about the way the world is out there. All right? Back to the story. Within an hour, both suspects, one adult and one juvenile, were in custody. They were caught at a nearby hospital when they sought help. The juvenile was brought back to the scene where deputies checked him for evidence and collected the rifle. Neighbors backed what the 15-year-old boy did. One neighbor said, "I'm really glad he was able to defend himself." Neighbors also confirmed that there have been recent burglaries in the neighborhood. And again, investigators said that the rifle was the personal weapon of the boy's father, the deputy constable. He's been with the sheriff's office for 11 years, and he is described as a good officer. Now, I love the last paragraph of this story. Here's the last paragraph. There were some questions about whether the boy would be liable for the shooting, since he had easy access to the weapon. But ABC 13's legal expert says that the 15-year-old's right to protect his home and his sister trumps all firearms access laws. Folks, don't forget, this is Texas. All right? We're a gun-friendly state, and we also are friendly to people defending themselves. I would say the chances are probably pretty good nothing's going to happen to this boy or his father. I hope they don't hold his father liable for leaving a firearm within a child's access. Now, don't hear me wrong, folks. I'm not saying that you should just openly leave everything where children can get it and have, you know, no respect for their safety. Go back and listen to the podcast I did on children and guns. I talked a lot about keeping weapons safe from kids, and there's lots of ways to do that. I'm not going to repeat all that stuff. I did cover it on another show. But I really do believe that you ought to teach your kids how to defend themselves, especially in the home. And 15 years, I would say that's a pretty good age, 15-year-old kid. Start teaching them about it. My son, who's 12, I'm not 100% convinced that I'm ready to start teaching him yet how to defend himself at home with a gun. I don't know if he's quite there yet, but soon. All right, I've got him shooting. I've taken the curiosity about firearms away from him. I'm teaching him safety. I'm teaching him, you know, how important it is to be responsible with firearms. Those are the first basic steps. Excuse me. All right, gun-proof your kids. Don't kid-proof your guns. Doesn't work that way. So I love this story. 15-year-old knowing what to do, thinking quickly, having the presence of mind. You know, sometimes I think maybe kids may have, you know, teenagers like that may have a better presence of mind than adults. Just personal opinion. Sometimes we adults get kind of freaked out. All right. Now, here's a little bit of listener feedback, so let's move off of the news. I also want to tell you about an interesting post that somebody made on the other forum that I run. As some of you know, I do another podcast on survival, self-sufficiency, preparedness, common sense. Common sense preparing for stink hit the fan events. And if you want to listen to that, That's a good show. Today's Survival Show, you can find that at todayssurvival.com. I've got a forum that I've been running for a year over there. And one of my members put something about guns on there, and I want to share this with you. Okay? He says, I'm reluctant to get a concealed carry permit because I think it's just a ready-made database for gun grabbers. I know the Supreme Court just gave us a good ruling, but I also know that the gun grabbers will never give up. Who knows how the next round will go? If and when the stink hits the fan, nobody will be concerned about permits anyway, so why should I get a license? Now, I've heard this asked a lot. I've heard it bantered around and kicked around the internet and so forth. So let me give you my response and let me give you my thoughts on that. Because it is a very good question. I told him I thought he made a good point. And I sort of debated the same thing with myself for quite a few years. You know, I started thinking, gee, you know, do I get the license or am I just going to open myself up for the gun grabbers and, you know, am I going to be on someone's database target list? But I think if you're the kind of person worried about gun grabbers, there's a couple of things that you can do. First of all, I would recommend get one or two guns without doing any paperwork. In Texas, private sales are legal. And there's a lot of places where you can do that, gun shows, private sales. One individual can make a private sale to another individual. There doesn't have to be any paperwork. That law still does exist. So you might want to think about getting one or two guns where there's no paperwork processed. That way the authorities don't know that you have those guns. If that's something that you're really worried about, you might want to think about that. And then store those firearms where people are less likely to look for them, which I'm going to be covering in the second half of this show. So stay tuned for the second half. My other thought on this subject is, if the gun grabbers are going to come after our guns, they're going to have to confiscate about 70 million or 80 million firearms, roughly. Now, you know, folks, I think that's pretty tough to do. I think it's pretty unlikely that we're going to get to the point where the government's going to come knocking on our doors asking for our guns. Now, some of you might disagree. I understand. And go ahead and give me the reasons why you think that could easily happen. You know what kind of a logistics nightmare that's going to be for them to gather up about 80 million guns and yank them out of about probably, 50 or 60 million people's hands? That's pretty hard to do. All right, but and again, if that's what you're really concerned about, then have one or two guns that nobody knows about that aren't recorded. If you don't live in a state where you can pull that off, then I guess, you know, throw this idea out the window. But if you live in a state where that's allowable, get one. I got to tell you, folks, I'm not going to tell you the details and what it is. I do have one gun that I've purchased without any paperwork. I'm not telling you where it is or what it is. Okay, and the second part to my answer to that guy's question, there's also two more reasons to get a concealed carry license. Number one, first of all, it's the law. And if you want to prepare and if you want to take care of your self-defense right now, if you want to prepare yourself right now before the stink hits the fan against the bad guys and the predators and the thugs out there, when you're away from home and going about your daily life, get the license so that you're legal. All right, now if you happen to be fortunate enough to live in Alaska or Vermont or Arizona where you don't need to get a license anymore, I can understand maybe why you wouldn't get one. However, I would still probably urge you to get a concealed carry license if you live in one of those three states so you can go to another state and travel. So don't think about only what if the stink hits the fan and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose and we're in trouble. Also think about what happens right now. Get your license. Another reason to get your concealed carry license. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Because you can. It's your right. It's your right to do that. And unless you live in Wisconsin or Illinois, it's your right to get the concealed carry license. And you know how I feel. The more people who exercise their rights, the harder it is for the gun haters to take them away. It's why I own three concealed carry licenses. I own three because, you know what? I'm three towards the total number of people that own concealed carry licenses. The more we exercise our rights, the harder it is for people to take them away. Rights are like muscles. They atrophy, so don't lose them. All right? So that is pretty much my response to that. Maybe if some of you have some other comments, that's one of the reasons why I like the forum at the Gun Rights Radio Network and also the comments page and so forth on handgunworld.com. I'd like to hear your opinions on that. I don't want this show to be just about me. I want this show to be about you, the listener, as well. So, to the guy that sent in that comment, thank you very much. I appreciate it. One more bit of listener feedback, and then I'll get into segment number two here about storing your handguns and keeping guns in strategic places. A listener sent me a negative comment about my show, which I think is good. I'm an open-minded person, folks, and I don't mind negative comments. I think it's constructive criticism. The way he put it was pretty constructive, and I appreciate that. But I really don't mind if you send me stuff that you don't like. See, I want this show to be about you, and I want it to be a good show. And every way that I can improve it, I'm all ears. So thank you, sir, for stepping up to the plate and sending me this, and I appreciate what he has to say. He was making a comment about episode 30 when I did a show on open carry. And he went on to make a point that I missed some pretty valid points about open carry. He says, open carry provides an opportunity to educate the public on a citizen's right to bear arms and shows them that gun owners are just average citizens like them. Open carry may help avert a confrontation, and proper holsters and vigilance can prevent a gun grab. On the most important point, which you did touch on but failed to agree with, was the need to exercise our constitutionally protected rights. He says, overall, I think the podcast was weak and lacking desire, just my two cents. Jonathan, thank you for sending that in. I appreciate it. You know, you're right. At the time that I recorded episode 30, I was not a real big proponent of open carry. I got to tell you, I'm starting to warm up to the idea. And let me just go ahead and say this about open carry. I still don't think that I would do it, but I do think that everybody needs to have the right to do it. I would like to see in all 50 states the right to either open carry or concealed carry. And of course, concealed carry would probably need a license. Although, I tell you what, now that Arizona has jumped into the constitutional carry arena, I guess maybe you're going to start seeing more other states do that. What one thing I like about open carry is that even though I would conceal anyway, I wouldn't have to be so worried about if my gun prints too much, because I wouldn't be breaking any laws. And I guess if there are more people walking around open carrying, it would send the message to the general public, especially to the gun haters, that we are just ordinary law-abiding citizens. And that is true. So, Jonathan, you're right. And I stand corrected. And I know that that podcast probably did lack a little bit of conviction. I wanted to address the open carry issue when I recorded it. I just wasn't 100% sold on it. I would say now I'm probably about 96 or 97% sold on it. I just... You know, and he's right about proper holsters. Proper holsters do avoid a gun grab. And I'm going to talk here a little bit about some cool holsters that I just recently purchased that I really like. So, you know, thanks for that criticism. I'm warming up to it. As a matter of fact, open carry is one of the causes that I want to start, try to raise some money for. So I wouldn't be calling for a fundraiser for the open carry folks if it wasn't something that I believed in. I would like to see us all have that right. Whether a person actually open carries or not, I guess, is up to them. So thanks again, Jonathan, for sending that in. Which leads me to the next topic I want to talk about before the break. You remember when I told you that I purchased a couple of CompTac holsters at the Texas IDPA match? Well, right now as I speak, as I'm doing this podcast, I'm wearing my MTAC that I bought with my Glock 19 in it. And I got to tell you, now I see what all the fuss is about. Now I see why everybody likes these holsters. I've been wearing it now about 5 days. And some people say you have to wear it 2 weeks before it gets broken in, but I sure love this thing. Man, this is comfortable. I would still inside the waistband carry, I think, with an MTAC. Even if open carry was passed in the state of Texas, I think I would still you know, carry this inside the waistband in my Comptech. Maybe I wouldn't have to worry so much about it printing. Maybe I could tuck my shirt in and still carry it inside this MTAC holster. But this thing is comfy. Comfy, comfy. And so comfortable that, you know, I'm wondering why would I even need to carry outside the waistband. So I love the MTAC. The Gladiator that I purchased, I'm not quite so fond of. Good holster, quality made holster. Comptech is great, great stuff. As a matter of fact, I'll let out a little secret out of the bag. Comptech is going to be part of the Freedom Raffle that I'm going to do on July 15th. They've stepped up to the plate and they've donated some things. I'm not going to tell you exactly what they donated. I'll leave that as a surprise till the 15th. But, and that's not why I'm saying good things about them, because they've participated in my raffle. Because I bought these holsters before they agreed to do that. But I wanted to see what all the fuss is about, and I do like this MTAC. Get a Comptech MTAC. As a matter of fact, I got the neutral cant version for appendix carry. I'm thinking about getting the regular MTAC for 3 o'clock or 3:30 carry. I put this holster back in the 330 position for a couple days, and I wore it there, and I adjusted it so that it does cant about 10 or 12 degrees or so. I like it. I like it. This just might convince me to carry in the 330 position instead of appendix carry. I don't know. I'll probably do both. I'm going to keep the neutral cant so I can wear it cross-draw while I'm driving. It's the only time I will ever consider wearing a pistol cross-draw in that position is when I'm taking a long five-hour drive down to San Antonio or something like that. So, Comptech, thumbs up. I've been using their belt holster for IDPA, their Kydex belt holster, for a long time. A lot of other good holsters out there. I'm also considering getting the Raven Phantom, but man, I tell you what, right now with this MTAC, I don't think I'll be doing any more shopping for holsters again for a while. My Dale Fricke Archangel is still the best for appendix strong side carry. That just is a superb holster. I'll put a link to all of these so you know what I'm talking about for those of you who are new to conceal carry. All right, that wraps up segment number one. Let's take a quick 30-second musical break here. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about hiding places for your pistols and strategic placement of your handguns. Talk to you on the other side of the break. Here you go.
Gun Rights Radio Network has the best pro-Second Amendment, pro-gun rights podcast available on the net. The podcasts are absolutely free when subscribing using iTunes or Zune Marketplace, or if you want, you can just listen from the website. Make sure you visit gunrightsradio.com to subscribe. Podcasting freedom, one episode at a time.
Okay, segment number two, as promised, storing your handgun and putting your handguns in strategic places. There's a real good post on a website called itstactical.com. I'm not real sure what ITS Tactical stands for, but if you want to know, go to their website. I'll put a link to this post in this article. Very well written, some pretty cool ideas about where to store handguns, where to put them in strategic places so that they're safe, so that they're not an invitation to a thief, but more importantly, so that you can get them if you need them. Here's one idea. An empty cereal box in the pantry. Not a bad idea, huh? Hiding a handgun in an empty cereal box in the pantry. How likely is it for a thief to go through your pantry? Another idea, hanging upside down from a hook under the bathroom cabinet just above the door. And inside a closet, not a walk-in closet, up above the door. Most closets are shallow, and a burglar might go through your clothes and items on the shelf, but he probably won't look straight up over his head. Another idea is hiding a gun behind a decorative blanket hung like a cheap tapestry. Okay. Or behind a non-locking hideaway picture frame. Or in the false bottom in a bedside drawer. This one I thought was really interesting, in fake electrical outlets. You know, yeah, you could probably put a small little Kel-Tec 380 inside of a fake electrical, box. I don't know how easy that would be to get to, but it's a good hiding place. Also, some folks split the upholstery seam on the rear of the passenger's seat toward the driver, and then they insert a small holster and an appropriate handgun, and then sew Velcro on the seams to reseal it. I like that idea. That's a good one. This author also writes, he says, at my desk is a scanner. It has no guts inside of it. Lift up the top of the scanner and grab your handgun. Good idea. Business people at your office, if you're allowed to carry at your workplace, you might want to think about that one. Here's another good one. When you're away from home, you can take whatever you want to hide, whatever gun you want to hide, stash it in a garbage bag, and put it amongst the dirty clothes. No one looks through dirty laundry unless they're a perv, and then, of course, they're not usually looking to rob you in that case. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, like I said, I've studied burglars for a long time, and I've been to a lot of homes shortly after they were burglarized, and I've seen some of the mayhem in people's homes, you know, as I show up to sell them an alarm system. And I don't think I've ever heard of a burglar going through someone's dirty laundry. The next one he wrote kind of intrigued me because I travel so much. He said you can hide a gun when you're on the road in your dirty underwear in your suitcase. He says, I'd like to see a thief go ahead and grab themselves a big handful of that. That's good. He also says the Sportsman Guide has a wall clock that opens up to store medication. You can also stick a small handgun in there. It runs about $55 after shipping, and the clock actually works. Okay. Here's another example. You can keep a folding stock 12-gauge in a diagonal, extra-large pizza box, and then store that between the trash can and your kitchen cabinets. Yeah, maybe, I don't know, might want to try that. And I would think maybe one of those little Kel-Tec sub 2000 pistol caliber carbines would hide in a spot like that inside of a pizza box stuck somewhere. Might hide a little bit better than a folding stock 12 gauge, I don't know. Another hiding place for a handgun, under the towels in the master bathroom. He also said, he talked about an example of a woman who has designed her own holster for a little derringer. And that little neck holster holds that little derringer between her mammary glands. Okay, inside the jacket pocket, on a jacket, which is on the hanger inside the closet. Now, that's not bad. I mean, I've heard of a lot of people keeping a lot of things inside jackets and suit coats inside closets. You know, you got to remember something. When a burglar gets in your house, this is one of the reasons why I'm a big fan of an alarm system, a monitored alarm system. You know, even if it's just a noisemaker, it's okay, but I prefer monitored alarm systems. Here's why. A good security system, even though it may not deter always a burglar, it's probably going to limit the amount of time he spends in your house. It's going to cause him to go for the smash and grab, kicking your door, grab whatever he can, and take off. Once he hears that loud 115 decibel siren, whatever it is, going off, every manufacturer is different. Ours are about 115 dB. Once that thing starts wailing and he hears that noise, he's probably going to spend a lot less time in your home than if there was no security system. I've heard of situations where burglars have spent nearly all day, made themselves sandwiches, ate lunch, and pretty much cleaned out the house before they left. An alarm system is probably going to prevent that. And if you've got firearms hidden in strategic places in your house for when you're at home, some of these are pretty good ideas to keep them away from where people are typically going to be looking. Okay, another good idea. I really related to this because I was raised in Wisconsin. He said, hide a handgun inside of a trophy. If you lift up the brass plate, it's hollow inside. If it's a big enough trophy, like a huge bowling trophy. Man, that's all we did in the wintertime was bowl when I was growing up in Wisconsin. And my mom and dad both brought home some really large trophies. Might be able to stick a full-size 1911 in some of those. Okay, he also talks about hiding a gun behind a vent or a cold air return. Yeah, maybe. It might be something I might consider. He said, Let's see. He also talks about dancers. He says dancers carry dance bags for shoes to store their shoes in. On one side pocket, it's exclusively reserved for his Glock 29 that's put inside of a Phobos belt holster. And this alleviates any danger of putting the finger inside the trigger guard while you're drawing the handgun. Not a bad idea either. This next one I really like. Use a small little CD case to keep a little Kel-Tec or Ruger 380 and an extra magazine in it. And it makes for a handy place to slip the pistol and the holster into when you have to take it out of your pocket while you're driving, for example. Stick that pistol and the mag inside that CD case and stick it right between the seat and the console. As you know, I carry my Glock 19. One of them. I have two Glock 19s. I carry one of them on my person, and then, of course, I carry the other one between the seat and the console in a nice little nylon holster covering up the trigger guard, and I just throw a baseball cap over it. And I think I've mentioned this before. If you look inside my car, it just looks like there's a baseball cap sitting there. Underneath that baseball cap is a Glock 19. Now, I want to take a time out from some of these suggestions and tell you that my opinion is the absolute safest and best place to carry your handgun is on your body, without a doubt. Now, I don't sleep with my pistols, so some of these are not bad ideas to keep firearms when you're at home sleeping. Again, you got to think about your kids, and I know some of you might think that some of these aren't such good ideas because of the kids that you have at home. There could be some of you listening to this that don't have to worry about young children at home. These could be good ideas. Okay, here's another cool idea that I thought was pretty good. The author says most of his firearms are in his safe, but he does have a few of them scattered out and hidden in strategic locations. And he talks about confusing a thief, a would-be thief. He says, I give him what he wants up front to express myself, quote. I have several desirable, non-functioning, unloaded firearms in plain sight. As an art form, upon arriving from home, it's easy for me to see if any of these fake guns are missing, which would indicate that someone unwelcome has entered my house. If any of my, quote, indicator guns were disturbed upon my arrival, I would back out of my house quickly and call the sheriff. Not a bad idea. Some non-functioning, unloaded teaser guns. Okay, that one I'm gonna cogitate on that one for a while. Might not be too bad. Okay, another idea that he's got. He says he used to keep a Colt Police Positive in a Ziploc bag under some frozen veggies in the freezer. Okay, I guess since you can run Glocks through a dishwasher, I guess you could probably put a Glock inside of a freezer bag inside your freezer too, huh? By the way, have any of you ever tried to run a Glock through a dishwasher? I've never done that. You know, I've read all the internet chatter on that. I'm sorry, I'm not running my guns, even if I do take all the working parts out of it. I'm not running the stupid thing through a dishwasher. Okay. Another idea is to keep like a 1911 or a large revolver inside of an old boot and put them next to a whole bunch of shoes on the floor of your closet. He says he also collects beer steins and he has a .22 Derringer inside of his favorite beer stein. He also says he's got a handgun in a special place buried outside just in case he has to come back to the house if he comes back unarmed and has to defend his home. Okay, well, anyway, I wanted to give you a few ideas. Now, here's a few things that I do. See if some of these work for you. You can also modify furniture quite a bit. You can modify drawers inside of nightstands and drawers inside of dressers and things like that. You know, antique furniture. A lot of old antique furniture has a lot of space in there where you can hide handguns. You can put nails inside the furniture and you can hang the gun by the trigger guard inside the furniture. You know, you got to remember, folks, some thieves are not going to be looking in every single place of your house. It's going to be more of a smash and grab most of the time. The only thing I would caution you about using some of these places to strategically place some of your pistols is just make sure you can get to them easily. Again, I talked about children earlier, but, you know, and that's something that you have to decide for yourself. But make sure that you can get to them. You know, what good is a handgun stuck where you can't get to it? Unless, of course, you have time. I mean, if you know, if you've been cleaned out, if somebody's come in and absolutely cleaned out your home or your dwelling place, you know, then maybe some of these ideas would hide it in places where the thief would never think of, and then, of course, you still have access at least to a weapon. So I can understand that. That's not a bad idea. Now, I also keep a weapon in my storage unit. I'm not giving you details where and where it's located and so forth, but I have a weapon in there, and I've got it in its case, and I go there every couple weeks anyway, and I always put a nice light thin film of Militech oil over that firearm. It does not rust, and it's in a remote location inside of a storage unit that I own. Right, that is there in case the gun grabbers come, in case the stink hits the fan, in case for some reason all my firearms are cleaned out, in case for some reason someone gets into my safe. I don't know how they would, but maybe my house burns down. Maybe the safe burns with it. It's supposed to be a fireproof safe, but hey, you never know. In case something really, really bad happens and I'm wiped out, I go to my storage unit and I get my gun. If there's a weather event, if a tornado comes through, wipes out my entire neighborhood, levels my house, blows away all my guns and everything, hopefully the storage unit is far enough away, it won't get hit by the same tornado. I can go to my storage unit and I can get the one firearm I have stored there. If you have the ability to do that, I would strongly suggest that you do. Okay, regarding my vehicle, I think I've mentioned this before. I do not leave a loaded handgun in my vehicle when I have my vehicle unattended. When I leave my vehicle, either the handgun comes with me, or for some reason, if it cannot come with me, I unload it and I leave it inside the vehicle. I take all of my ammo with me. I stick it all in my pockets. Now, does that mean my handgun could still get stolen? Yes, it'll get stolen, but they won't get a loaded handgun. Now, as I wrap up segment number two, I'm going to tell you, I do use a couple of these methods. Since I read this article, I did set up a couple of these methods for strategically storing a couple of pistols. I would just urge you, don't keep them all in one place. I've been to people's houses where they say, hey, come take a look at my guns. And they want to show me their guns, and it's great. I want to see their guns. And they go to one room in their house or one closet in their house, and every firearm they own is there, including all of their ammo. Folks, I'd submit to you that's not a good idea. I have ammo hidden in a lot of different places in the house as well. I have a gun on me. But if my house is cleaned out by burglars and thieves, they're not going to find all of my ammo. So when I return, I've still got the gun that I have on me, and I have quite a bit of ammo stored throughout the house where I doubt that they're going to find. I also have ammo stored in my storage locker as well. I've also got ammo in my emergency bags in both vehicles. I think I've mentioned that before on a previous podcast. I got ammo in all my emergency bags that I carry in my vehicles at all times. Okay? Now, because this is a public podcast, anybody can listen to it, I'm not going to get real detailed about where I have hidden my firearms, but I can tell you some of the methods that I've talked about I do use. And I'll just leave it at that. If you own only one handgun, take it with you. Whenever you leave the house, take it with you. If you know in advance you're going to a place where you cannot carry inside of the building, then leave it in your vehicle if you absolutely have to. But folks, carry your guns. I made a comment in the previous show as I wrap this up. I'm going to share this with you. I made a comment in the previous show a couple of podcasts ago when I played the clip from the guy from the Brady campaign talking about he made the statement that a lot of people get their concealed carry license and don't carry their gun. And the reporter didn't believe that. But you know, as much as I hate the Brady campaign and I hate what those people do, that guy was right. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people. As a matter of fact, I just talked to a couple of them last week. People that have their concealed carry license that rarely carry their gun. Don't be one of those people. I understand that they're exercising their right to get the license. Okay? That's good. And I just got done advocating, go get your license. Great. But carry your gun, people. Come on, what good is that gun going to do when you're out and about? Remember, most people spend most of their time away from their home. If you get your concealed carry license and you leave that pistol in your safe at home, and you're out and about, you're driving around, you're walking the streets somewhere, and you are attacked, what happens? You've heard me advocate mouse guns before. I don't care if it's just a little 32 or 380 mouse gun or a tiny little 38 special revolver that you slide in your pocket. Whatever it is, it's better than what you don't carry what you don't carry with you. Carry your guns, ladies and gentlemen. Please, please carry your pistols. And with that, I'm going to wrap it up. Hope you got some ideas about where to strategically place your guns so that they're away from thieves but accessible to you. And thanks for the listener feedback to everybody who has sent me the comments, positive and negative. Appreciate that. Keep them coming. And thank you for listening to episode number 67. Folks, my name is Bob Main, and the reason I carry a gun in my new CompTac MTAC holster is because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Catch you next time. Bye-bye.